I like the, yeah, you're going to stay up here, that's right. they usually leave. I like the anticipation. I really do. And there's something about the anticipation of something coming that, to me, excites me. We were never surprised with a trip to Disneyland, partly because my dad did not like crowds, and so we were never going to go to Disneyland. My brother, though, who came along 12 years later, they surprised him to a trip to Disneyland. My dad softened. But that anticipation of something coming. And when that happens, if you're going to go on a trip somewhere, it's hard sometimes not to kind of talk about it, right? Because you anticipate it. You're going to go off to a trip to a warm place or something like that. Kind of like the fact that I booked my trip to Uganda in the spring to go back to there and to minister to the pastors. And I'm excited about that. I can't help but tell you how excited I am about that. And they're excited about it. It seems like it's going to be tomorrow when you talk to them. It's like, oh, we can't wait for you to come. We're preparing for you. Wait, it's several months away. But the anticipation of something coming, I think, is exciting. And when we read in the Bible, we read that Jesus, that God, I think, is also excited about the coming of the Messiah. And as we read through Scripture, we read these Scriptures that Jesus or God himself cannot help but share with anticipation that the King is coming. So, for instance, here's a verse in Isaiah. We know this verse in Isaiah quite well, Isaiah 6 or 9, 6 and 7. But let's look at this together. For unto us a child is born. So look at this. This is God giving the prophet, I want to announce this. So to us a child is born, to us a son is given, a government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness for this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Just keep that verse up there for a moment longer. Here God is announcing, he's announcing that the Messiah is coming, a king is coming. A king that is hard for those in that day to imagine what he would actually be, because what they knew was a king would sit on a throne, an earthly throne, and he would reign over the land, and Israel would be again in charge of the land and basically in their mind the world. My God. God in his wisdom and his knowledge, that wasn't good enough. That is like too small of thinking. That thing sink in for a moment. For God, that was too small of thinking. His plan was much greater than that, and he tries to announce it so that when the Messiah comes, you and I and the world would know that he has come. He is here. The word zeal is very an interesting word, zeal. I think of it when I first looked at it. Zeal is that enthusiasm, like, yes, I want you to know, I'm very zealous that you need to know that I'm going to Uganda. But it's actually not that way. It actually is saying this, that God is jealous. He's jealous. It's interesting, looking at it that way. What does it mean for God to be jealous? He's jealous of you and I. He's jealous for the plan of redemption. When he looks at you, he is jealous for you, which means he doesn't want to share you. He doesn't want to share you with the world. He doesn't want the world to influence you. He is jealous for you. He is zealous for you. He is zealous that his plan of redemption would come about. You. You. And he wants you to know this, to live in it, to celebrate it. So he announces it. The king is coming. Again, we'll look at another scripture, Zechariah 9:9. Here it reads, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." We know that when we read this story, that when Jesus enters into Jerusalem, he enters into Jerusalem on a donkey, on a foal. This baby who came as a young child into this world grows to be a man and comes into the city on a donkey. And there's so much around that you probably have heard over the time that any king would not come into a city riding as a king on a donkey. It would be a majestic horse. And he wouldn't come in with the peasants shouting, just the peasants shouting his name. It would be the nobles. It would be a big thing. But no, Jesus comes riding in on donkey, lowly. He comes riding in and the common person is shouting his name, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Just like he came into this world as a baby. And who? Who comes to celebrate him first? Shepherds. The stinky shepherds. God, in his wisdom, says that I want you to see Jesus, not one who is going to sit on an earthly throne and overthrow an earthly kingdom. No, he came to sit on an eternal throne to destroy the powers and the principalities in the heavenly realms. That is why we read in Isaiah the picture of kingship, the picture of someone who is ruling for a lifespan, who is ruling for eternity. He is a king who rules with greatness and with power. His kingdom is ruled with justice and righteousness. We're looking. Are you not looking for somebody to rule our country with justice and righteousness? Don't we want that? In my lifetime, and I'm starting to feel a little bit older, some of you are older than me, you may think, when you look back, you may say, well, I think there was a time when this country was ruled with justice and righteousness. But if we were to look at the history and look down deep into the history, the truth is that nobody's ever ruled any country with justice and righteousness in its true sense, in its purity. So I can't look for somebody to come into the political realm and bring justice and righteousness as I desire it in the Bible. They're not going to save me. They're not going to save this country. Who's going to save this country? King Jesus, because he has already. He has already. That brings me peace. He rules with justice and righteousness right now. His reign is current right now. So our ability to experience his rule and reign comes from a place of surrendering our rule and our reign in our life. And again, I find that very difficult. Because I get caught up in things like I begin to worry and I begin to fret about the stuff around me. And when I do, I want to take control. If I can't know the outcome, then what do? I tend to take control instead of trusting that his rule and his reign is good. We come and practice communion or the Lord's table to remind us of what has been done and what is required of us. God remains jealous of you and I. He wants all of you. He wants everything of you. He doesn't want you just to like the idea or the concept that he is king. Rather, he wants you to practice Jesus' kingship in your life. And so it starts in this place. It starts by recognizing your salvation, the work that Jesus has done. Some of you may sit here today and you have never surrendered yourselves to God. You've never asked him to forgive you of your sins and seeking him to be in control of your life to follow him. Romans 9:10 says this. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. If you have done that, then this is the beautiful thing, is it not? It's something that's why we come to the communion table, to celebrate that we are saved. Yet in this, some of you maybe sitting here have never done that. You've never come to the place where you've said, Jesus, you are Lord, and that you died for my sins, and I surrender myself to you. I want to follow you. And I want to give you that invitation because he gives it to everyone every day. If you have never come to that place of surrendering yourself to him, then today is your day of salvation. Today is your day to say right now, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you that you have taken those sins away. Thank you that you have given me your righteousness. Forgive me of my sins. I want to follow you. If you've done that right now, I want to tell you two things. One, you are saved. Two, heaven is celebrating. All of heaven is celebrating. And if you sit here today and you have already done that, you are part of the family of God. But every day is a new day. But every day is a day for us to be able to come and to come before him and to say, God, I want to follow you. I thank you for my eternal salvation, but today I'm looking to be saved from myself and the world around me. And how does that happen? By being in his presence, by walking in his ways. And communion is that time where, as a church family, we stop and we reflect on what he has done. And I want to do that today. What I want us to do these three things. I want us to consider what Jesus has done. I want you and I to consider, is he king of my life? Am I walking with him? Have I moved away from him in some ways? Am I caught up in sin? And then I want to move us to a time of confession. where you take whatever he has revealed to you and you would be before him in a time of just asking him, Lord, please forgive me for my sins. And so it says in Scripture in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from our wrongdoing. And then the last part I want to move us to, which I think is one of the greatest parts, and that is celebration. To be able to celebrate and to thank God and to say, Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you that this table represents all of that for us today. And so that's where I want us to go this morning. And this is how we're going to do it. As awkwardly as possible, I'm going to have you come up and take the elements. And I want you to take each of the elements, and then you'll sit back down. And then we're going to go through those three again. There'll be some music playing, there'll be some quietness, and then some more music playing, because I want us to engage in this individually, but we'll be doing it corporately. And then we'll partake together in the ultimate celebration. So I'm going to ask Vince and Betty to come, and they're going to be up here to help serve you this morning. And this is always the awkward part, is that if you're going to come up, how in the world do you do it so you don't trip over people? Well, I've got the sides, I think, pretty much figured out, and we're going to invite you to come up first. You middle people here, you trouble me. How do I get you out of your seat and in here? Thank you, Dan. You know, you always trouble me. Okay. So we're going to try this, is that we're going to, you in the middle, you're going to move this way when I ask you to. And you're going to come up and you're going to choose either table, but then you're going to go back this way, okay? So this way. So you on the sides, you're going to start us off, you're going to stand up, and you're going to move this way, and then you're going to go back down the center. And then when they're done, then I'll invite the middle. If today you go, you know what, I'm just not able to make it up here, I will have the privilege of being able to serve you. So you sit where you are, and I will come serve you, okay? Does that sound all right? Hopefully, we'll see how well we do this morning with this. So, let me pray, and we're going to have a song that we will go through. You're welcome to sing it as you pick up the elements, and then we'll walk through the rest of the part. Lord, I thank you that you announced the coming King. Lord, I thank you that the King, Jesus the Messiah, did not sit on an earthly throne, ruling an earthly kingdom. But he sits on a heavenly throne, ruling over all kingdoms. God, thank you that we can pause to recognize the work that Jesus has done on the cross, his death, his resurrection, life found in him. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.